Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So did you know that New Jersey and four other states have taken steps to abolish the Electoral College in presidential elections? And did you know a bill to join the movement is now before the New York State Legislature in Albany? My next guest is New Yorker correspondent Hendrik Hertzberg, who is a leading proponent of what's called the National Popular Vote Movement. It would take a constitutional amendment to abolish the Electoral College at the federal level. So Hertzberg and others are trying to get each of the 50 states to do it state by state, announcing their willingness to abide by the national popular vote. Hendrik Hertzberg joins me now. Hi, Hendrik. Welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You frame this as living, breathing human beings electing the president rather than artificial entities called states. Why do you want to abolish the Electoral College or its impact?
It's important to note that it's that the National Popular Vote Plan would not abolish the Electoral College. It would turn the Electoral College into a kind of a ceremonial reminder of our glorious white-wigged past, like the Queen of England in the British system. There's no need to abolish the Electoral College. The states have the right to cast their electoral votes any way they like. As it is now, all but two states cast their votes by a winner-take-all procedure, where even if you win the state by one vote, all the votes of that state go to whoever wins in that state. But that's not in the Constitution. And a lot of states, it didn't even get going until about 1830 under Jackson. So what happens is that this plan, when enough states have signed on to make a majority of the Electoral College, then the plan kicks in, and all those states would cast would choose the electors corresponding to the winner of the national popular vote. But it would have the same effect, really, as abolishing the Electoral College. It would mean that we would elect the president the same way we elect governors and senators.
Right. But let me challenge you a little bit on this.
Please do.
At least play devil's advocate and ask if this is necessarily a good thing. I know that people, of course, were revolted by the way Bush versus Gore turned out and the difference between the Electoral College result and the popular vote result. But how about this scenario? A future George Bush has won the national popular vote, but New York goes for the future Al Gore, putting him over the top in the Electoral College and into the White House. Are you ready to ask New Yorkers to lie down and accept that future George Bush as their president voluntarily and give up that clout?
I don't see what clout there would be. I mean, are you saying that we shouldn't give up, New York should not give up its chance to reverse a popular vote when we don't like the outcome of the popular vote? In other words, you're propositing a situation in which Bush wins the election nationally, gets more votes than the Democratic candidate.
Right.
But we in New York are able to, because we're able to thwart the results of that election. I don't think that's not something I'm interested in preserving. But the most important thing about this change anyway really is not about wrong winners. Wrong winners doesn't happen that often. I mean, it happens a lot more often than you want it to happen, but it doesn't happen every time. What happens every time is that most of the country is effectively disenfranchised, and you don't have grassroots politics in most of the country.
And sure enough, we were talking to Dan Cantor off the air about this from the Working Families Party here in New York. He says, by the way, that the chances of passage in New York are good, in his opinion. And the Working Families Party says if this movement succeeds, New York's 19 million citizens would go from being electorally irrelevant in presidential elections to absolutely crucial. Do you think that's true about empowering New York?
I don't think it's really about, I think that's a good argument to use to persuade New York State legislators. But what it would do would be, it would mean that every person was empowered equally, whether they lived in New York or Virginia or Florida or Wyoming. Wouldn't matter where you lived, your vote would count just as much as anybody else's, and your vote would be worth going after just as much as anybody else's. And, you know, there'd be a whole class of people. I think the biggest resistance to this whole plan comes from people who've devoted their lives to being experts on the minutia of our states and swing states and that category, the category of states, would no longer be important, except to the extent that it's important to voters, to people, to human beings.
Right. But Hendrik, what's so great about pure 50% plus one majority rule anyway? Isn't that how even large minority groups become marginalized in what passes for democracy?
Well, if you're going to have elections and you're going to choose one winner for a given constituency, like one senator for a state or one representative for a district or one president for a country, you can either do it by who gets the most votes, or you can figure out some other way by which somebody who doesn't get the most votes wins the job. I think the people who defend the Electoral College, what they really need to do is to be suggesting ways that we can import the wisdom of the Electoral College, let's say, into our state elections. You know, instead of letting us all vote for governor and having our vote count equally, let's have each county be a winner-take-all unit. And so we could have swing counties and spectator counties.
I understand that argument.
Okay,
nobody's going in that direction. Well, I'm just saying that I see the problems with the Electoral College, and I certainly understand why nobody's going in that other direction. But if we're going to look at the shortcomings of electoral democracy in America and really start from the root, even start from scratch, I might start with 50% plus one as a bigger problem, and look for some more proportional, more truly representative measure of representation.
You might. You might. If you were starting at ground zero, there's all sorts of things you might do differently. But if we're talking about practicalities, about something that might actually happen, this is the thing that could actually happen. And proportional representation, I'm all for it. I'm on the board of Fair Vote. We push proportional representation. I think it's a great thing. I'd like to see our whole system go to a more proportional basis. But that's a long, 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 long way down the road. What could happen by the next election is this: that we could repair this big elementary flaw in our system. It's practical. It's a practical thing that actually can be done. It can be done partly because it's in the interest of politicians in non-swing states, in spectator states, to do it. These guys aren't players. They would be if everybody's vote counted.
Hendrik Hertzberg from The New Yorker, my guest on WNYC. You can post your thoughts to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show about this bill, and you can we just have a few minutes, but if you want to call in real quick and give us an up or down, a yes or no, should the New York State Legislature pass this bill, and New Jersey has already done it, to volunteer to give New York's electoral votes to the winner of a national popular vote, no matter what. Did I state that right in terms of what the bill would actually do?
It would mean that all over the country, in states that had adopted this bill and in states that didn't adopt this bill, the important thing would be how many votes can you get? That's all that would matter.
Now, while you're here, you were once the chief speechwriter for President Jimmy Carter. That's part of what you've done in your life. I'm curious, as a presidential chief speechwriter, what did you think of President Obama's Cairo speech yesterday?
I thought it was one of the best presidential speeches ever given. Not as a work of literature, but as a work of the intellect, as an expression of policy and belief. I thought it was a magnificent speech.
People have talked about it being purposely simple, even though it was in many ways very complex, because it was going to be translated to so many languages around the world.
Yes, there was nothing ornate or flowery about the language. It was very, very clear, and the clarity of it was what was so striking and extraordinary. It did not have diplomatic circumlocutions. It very plainly stated an argument and ideas, and I was blown away by it.
Is it very different to write a speech for someone who talks like Barack Obama than for someone who talks like Jimmy Carter?
Not so different. I mean, Jimmy Carter also liked a plain, simple, straightforward language. But a Barack Obama comes along once in a century, and I envy his speechwriters the fun of being part of something as historic as this administration.
David in Brooklyn, up or down on New York giving away its electoral votes?
Oh, definitely. Definitely up.
Definitely up. Okay. And I'm sure I didn't say that right. It's not giving away the electoral votes.
No, it's going along with the idea that we should elect the president the way we elect everybody else.
Margaret in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I agree with that too, that the individual person's vote should be counting. I don't like the Electoral College and never have. And does he have a website or somewhere that we can sign on to be involved with this?
Yes, you can go to fairvote.com or nationalpopularvote.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Derek in Manhattan begs to differ, I think. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Brian. I am against this vote, but I am for the Electoral College. I do think that we do need to actually increase the amount of representatives in Congress, because they instituted a law in 1911, Public Law 62-5, that capped the amount of congressmen at 435, and we haven't had an increase in almost 100 years. And, you know, there's a huge problem with proportional law and minority rights.
That's a different issue, but it brings up the question of what happens when electoral districts are too big. Hendrick, have you looked at that one at all?
When electoral districts are too big?
Well, he was talking about the law back a century ago that capped the number of representatives
in
the House at 435, even though the population of the country keeps growing. So if this is supposed to be different from the Senate, which, of course, has their members elected statewide, that the representatives in the House are supposed to be closer to the people, well, they're getting further and further gradually from the people because the districts keep growing in number.
Yes, I think that would be a good idea, to increase the size of the House. But I don't understand why why he's in favor of the Electoral College.
Derek, you're still there for that?
Yes, I do believe that it is necessary, so we don't have the idea of a national popular vote and the president or the president's campaigning for only the larger population states.
That would not happen. That simply wouldn't happen any more than it happens in New York State, that somebody running for governor or senator only campaigns in New York City and Buffalo.
Wouldn't they still campaign in swing areas for the most part? Like, they still wouldn't come to Manhattan because, you know, at least with current politics, you know, Manhattan's going to vote 80% for the Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
They would still go to places where the local population was in play.
No, every vote would be in play, and they wouldn't go to places. They wouldn't really think in terms of places. They'd think more in terms of demographic groups, affinity groups, the things that are important to voters themselves. And sure, they'd go to Manhattan because getting more votes in Manhattan would pay.
Because if the votes piled up, they piled up toward the total national count rather than toward a foregone conclusion of New York's electoral votes.
That's right. Right now, it's just pointless for either party to campaign in Manhattan. But it would also be worthwhile for Republicans to campaign in Manhattan.
All right. Give that website again, and then we're out of time.
NationalPopularVote.com.
Hendrick Hertzberg, staff writer for The New Yorker. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.